Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience. That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
It's a good day
Wednesday.
Yeah.
It is definitely a Wednesday.
If it's Wednesday night and 8 o'clock, you should be right back here on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, iTunes, Automatic, Glork Normal, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, for the rest of those folks out there that can't join us live.
So I always wanted to know this. Maybe one of you has this answer. What exactly constitutes a startup, and how do you go about starting a startup? Like, is it strictly text-based?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that
question. Because,
maybe somebody out there listening live can tell us, what is the definition of a startup?
Because, like, here's the thing. We talk about Glork Normal all the time, but Glork Normal doesn't actually exist.
It's heresy.
So how do we start a startup to just make Glork Normal a thing?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'll look into it. There's got to be a website that can make some sort of kerfunctory thing for us. And then we just got to figure out exactly what we want Glork Normal to do besides host this show.
Yeah, well, that would be the prime.
I mean, it could be anything. It could be a media platform. It could be a knife sharpener. I mean, it could be anything,
basically,
really. It's just a sound.
What I would suggest is that we create a podcast platform, but then try and get Ninja on board.
Yeah.
Because apparently he jumped off of Twitch, and now he's on something else.
What's the other thing from Twitch?
There's like a competitive version
of
Twitch.
I think Microsoft made it, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. So that'll be done in 6 months. That's fine.
Yeah, but that's
everybody out there listening on their Zune.
Yeah. right. So there's that.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many people I run into with a Windows phone. Everybody.
Everybody.
Everything Microsoft does works. Yeah, but that guy's popular, though, so they'll get at least a bump. What's the platform called?
It's called Mixer, and it is a Microsoft streaming platform.
Yeah.
So there's a Mixler, and now they made Mixer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Mixer's already like a word, like you have like a piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And it's not
it's complicated.
Work. Not going to work.
Brilliant.
Not going to work.
Yeah.
People are going to watch Twitch. You know why? Because they've already started getting used to Twitch.
Yeah. Well, they already started watching for Ninja.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And now they're going to have to watch like Ninja Turtles, I guess. Oh, if you search Ninja on Twitch, what's going to happen? What happens? Is it like the paperclip that comes up and just says, hey, he moved over here. Maybe I can help you. Is it Clippy?
That's probably it.
Is Clippy going to get involved here?
Hopefully. I miss Clippy.
Yeah.
Well, he's annoying, but then you miss him when he's not there.
See, I liked him.
I did too.
I never got annoyed by him. If you I liked the little things too that Clippy didn't get appreciated for. Like when you went like control P and then he turned into a printer and looked like the paper was coming out.
That's
he was just there to have a good time.
He was there. Yeah.
You're in the middle of the night writing a paper.
He's like Screech.
Is he?
From like Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
Or Urkel.
Dustin Diamond turned out to be a real, real piece of work, though.
Yeah.
Like, nobody likes Screech, like real life Screech.
No.
Like, anytime they all hang out, they don't invite Dustin Diamond.
I wouldn't.
Which I wouldn't either.
No.
Can you imagine that Dustin Diamond is his real name?
Yeah.
And not what's Gold Dust character first draft was?
Yeah, Dustin Diamond.
You know what I mean?
Or like some sort of weird character that's like a Texas billionaire.
Yep.
You know, like JBL's name should have been Dustin.
You're right,
Diamond.
Dustin. Yep, exactly. And he should have said Ta Nation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it could have been either a large attorney who might not understand the big city ways and grabs his suspenders.
Yeah, and snaps them.
Or he would have been a cartoon chicken.
Yeah, definitely one of the two.
One or the other. Why was he named Foghorn Leghorn? What does that mean?
I don't know, but there is something like...
Is that a thing? What's a leghorn?
I want to say it's like something Confederate related.
Is it a bird? A leghorn?
No.
Doesn't it sound like it could be some sort of...
Have you seen that video of Foghorn Leghorn? Like that actual chicken that comes out of that chicken house?
Yeah, like a chicken that's like...
The size of a person?
Absurdly big. Like it'd be a pretty big dog.
Yeah, it would be a really big dog.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, but what is a leghorn?
A leghorn, according to dictionary.com, is a fine plated straw or a chicken of a small hardy breed.
Okay. But he was a big chicken.
Yeah, but I think he probably looked like that, didn't he?
I think so.
Like a leghorn type of chicken?
Yeah.
But he was a big
skinny
chicken.
Legs.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he be like Foghorn Rooster?
Foghorn Rooster, because that just doesn't sound right.
Foghorn Cock.
Yeah, foghorn cockhorn.
Foghorn cock.
If he was Foghorn Cockhorn, that would have been the best character ever, because it would have been like introduced in the 60s when nobody cared, and then we're like, oh, do we keep the name? What do we do now? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Do we keep Foghorn Cockhorn
Here's
forever?
The thing. I bet you if we dig far enough into Foghorn Leghorn, we'll get there.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'd like to do that. Boy. We had a lot of plans tonight. I'd like to do this instead.
Yeah, we'll deep dive into the lineage of Foghorn Leghorn.
But we do appreciate you joining us, and we hope that you have a good time. And what we're going to be opening up with is not Foghorn Leghorn, which is interesting because it's a smaller breed of chicken.
Smaller breed of chicken is what it says.
I just don't think that really identifies with the character. However, we have a company on our hands that is taking the smaller approach, which we think is actually wise and makes a lot of sense, which is All Elite Wrestling. They have announced that they're going to have some upcoming dates, including Boston, which I think we're going to be going to. You and I have been talking behind the scenes, and be quite the commute for Bill, but I think you and I might sneak into that thing. But the big point that we want to make with AEW specifically isn't just that they're going to announce dates, because, you know, you open up a wrestling company, and guess what you do? You run shows.
Yeah, right.
It's the idea that we think what they're doing in particular is very smart. Would you care to kind of elaborate on what AEW is doing and why you think it's a good idea?
So obviously they have their first show in October. They have All Out. Those are the shows that are announced. And their first show is down in D.C. at the Capital One Center, I believe is the name of it.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so they're doing that. That's the big kickoff to their Wednesday show that's going to be on TNT. And so then they started to announce other shows that will also be for TV tapings. And one of them is at the Aganis Arena in Boston. And the other one is where exactly, Bill?
In Philadelphia at the arena where Temple University plays.
Right. So both of these are college arenas. So they house college hockey and basketball, and so they are not the Garden or the Smoothie King Center.
Right. Yeah, I looked it up, and the Aganis Arena for hockey maximum holds about 7,000 seats.
Yep.
And the one at Temple holds about 10,000.
Right. So Temple's a little bit bigger, but this is great because it's definitely a step in the right direction for a company that I feel up until this point has been firing on all cylinders. They've really kind of addressed what their audience is and are really attacking that core and really fundamentally knowing who they are and not stepping out of their limits.
I think that what they've done is a smart move because, like, look, it remains to be seen how what the gate's going to wind up being. And I think they're going to do everything in their power to either, like, give away tickets or do whatever it takes. And maybe they don't have to, right? But what I'm saying is they are smart that, like, look, it's better to sell out.
Yep.
Like, let's just use round numbers. It's better to sell out a building with 5,000 seats than it is to sell. And I know this sounds stupid, and somewhere Jamie's listening going, you fool, make all the money you can. And right. I understand. But from a, hear me out. I think it's better for them right now, early,
right,
to sell out 5,000 seats than to put 7,200 people in a building that holds 15,000.
Correct.
Because although you're right that their 7,200 is bigger than 5,000, and I'm trying to make money and I can hear you, there are other things too, like the building's overhead. That probably winds up making the gate more of a break even because it costs so much more to rent the Boston Garden than the Aganis.
Right.
But then the other thing too, like this, is like just strictly from an aesthetic point, it looks better. But then there's this as well. You're early, you're young, and if you have people saying AEW sells out arena in Boston, that headline is worth some money.
Right.
The money that you would have got from a couple extra tickets, in my opinion. I think it's smart for them to look as successful as possible early, and selling out a smaller building and saying sell out and having the place look packed is a really smart idea to me.
Well, you look at what has been huge criticisms of the worldwide leader, right? So you look at, as a company that's starting out, you have to look at what your competition and what the guys at the top of the mountain are doing and look at what they don't do so well and attack those areas. It's the old business idea of Red Sea versus Blue Sea, right? And when you're AEW and you're looking at Twitter on a Monday night and it's like, wow, this crowd is dead. Wow, this crowd is terrible. Wow, this crowd is bad. It's not maybe necessarily that crowd is bad or that crowd is dead. It's that building is so much bigger and there's so many more people or lack thereof because, yeah, this building holds 15, but we only sold 12, and that makes a difference. And so it's not as loud and rambunctious as a smaller venue where everybody is on top of them. Everybody talks about NXT and they talk about ECW, right, in the Hammerstein Ballroom, where it's like those crowds are on top of these people.
Sure.
And they want to be there. And so it's better right now to get people excited by, yeah, let's have, you know, 7,000 people at the Aganis. All want to be there. I want all 7,000 people to be there because when WWE rolls into town, there's a bunch of kids that are like, oh, I liked that when I was younger and let's go or whatever. Right.
There's something to be said. Like, you know, you and I were talking about this off the air and comparing it more directly to NXT, but it's applicable here as well. When we were growing up and when we were kids, the thing about the old WWF pay-per-views, and this is also in the early 2000s and stuff, so it's not like I'm not talking about the 80s, quite the opposite.
Yeah.
Talking about the late 90s, early 2000s, where JR would open up Raw, and it's two things. It speaks to what you're saying, is that the crowd just seemed to be a lot more excited to be there as they as they panned around. But then the second thing is, the real point, is they would go to JR, who went, this weekend is King of the Ring, and we sold out in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's just a different energy then, and I know that SummerSlam sold out, but I could be wrong, but I bet you SummerSlam didn't sell out even day of, yet alone in 20 minutes, like King of the Ring 2000 did, you know what I mean? And so when it comes to AEW, again, it might sound foolish, but I really do think there's weight and validity to the idea that, like, look, if this thing sells out in an hour, because there's only so many tickets, but everybody just wants it, right? Like today, Bill, here's an example, right? So, because we're nerds and addicted to something stupid, Funko Pops, right?
Okay.
Today at 2 o'clock our time, an exclusive limited edition Get It or Don't Funko Pop from The Office. It was a special edition Jim from The Office Funko Pop went on sale. And it sold out in 8 minutes.
Yes.
And it's like, look, could Funko have made more money if they just made more of them?
Right.
Yes. But then when they do these things, it's like, oh my God, the rush of people to get them is overwhelming. And so that's my big point here. We're like, AEW early on is going to need good press, good headlines, good energy, good momentum, goodwill on the internet, people saying, you know, exciting things. And it is little things like, you know, when WrestleLink or whatever is going to say AEW sells out in Boston, that's a headline that might make Vince McMahon a little pissed off. Not worried. I'm never going to use that word.
No.
Because it's always going to be anger. My inclination of Vince McMahon's responses to AEW will always be anger, not fear.
Yeah,
because that's accurate. Because that's always what I've heard about WCW.
Right.
He would always just throw shit. He was never like,
he was mad.
Right. He was never like, you know, taking people aside and being like, you know,
well, I don't think we're gonna make it.
We're in trouble here. You know what I mean? He was just like, I want to kill Eric Bischoff. But anyway, so I'm giving AEW all the credit in the world here, because for them to just say we're gonna bite what we can chew, early, I think that's smart.
Well, you know, WWE, and I've talked about this on this show multiple times, and so here we go. The biggest problem that WWE has right now is that they kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the bubble has just gotten too big, right? Because now it's, well, I need to sell out the largest stadiums to do my shows because we've built to that, because everything's the biggest to ever big.
And it'll feel like a step backwards.
And it's going to feel like a step backwards.
Right.
Whereas it's just like,
I have to run them. If I go to Boston, I have to run the Garden.
Right. And it's like, do you know how great it would be if they decided to run the Aganis Arena? Because, yeah, the people that want to be there are going to be there.
Even if, like, literally, and I'm not even joking, they used to do Raw at that building in Lowell.
Right.
Where they've run several NXT shows. And it's like, in that venue, if you just walked in there as a fan, you're like, oh, this is Raw? I feel like I'm at a wrestling show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
That energy would be electric.
Right.
But it's just not their goal. Their goal, weirdly enough, is that they're just, their goals are not rooted in wrestling-related typical goals.
Right. And the problem is that they're not good at the general entertainment stuff.
I agree with that as well. You know that's the thing that we've talked about a lot. It's like, look, if this show was, despite itself, funny and appealing in its own weird way, even though it wasn't wrestling wise, fine, so be it. But you're right. It's neither true to the roots of wrestling, nor is it funny.
Because it feels, because like one of the people, and we'll get to it, is like Goldberg is on this show, and one of the like more important points of this SummerSlam. And I'm pretty sure 2 weeks ago, that wasn't the plan.
Yes. So,
you know what I mean? Like I don't think that they, when, you know, let's just say Money in the Bank happened, that they were like, all right, we're building to SummerSlam.
Money in the Bank, no, but I don't know the when it happened, but I would talking to some, yeah, you know, but also just like outside of that, if pretend I don't know him, right? The first time Dolph Ziggler made fun of Goldberg on TV, that had to have been a done deal. Had to have been. Right. There's no way Ziggler dropped the bomb about Goldberg, and then they called Bill, or Bill called them, and like, yeah, outrageous. I have to be
who
part
is
of
this guy.
Right. I got to be part of this pay per view now. And they didn't call and be like, Bill, you know, Nick took a shot at you. We didn't expect, but what do you think? There's some heat there. Like, no, that was done.
But I
think this, and I honestly think that what happened was the timeline from what I both kind of know and what I think is they had that fucking clunker with the Undertaker. There was a big blowout because he was mad. People were mad at him. He was mad at everybody. And then I think to cool down and stay on good terms for both the money and because they like each other now, is they go like, Bill, your actual last match is going to be, you're going to fold Dolph Ziggler like laundry.
Right.
And we're all going to feel good about your actual last thing in wrestling. And that's the timeline here.
Oh, yeah. But it's still, that couldn't have been the plan, right? Like a tentpole part of SummerSlam.
Probably not a month ago.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and right. So, yeah, you're not good at the entertainment stuff.
And I also think they wanted Shawn Michaels, and he said no.
That's probably what also happened.
You know what I mean? And then they went, okay.
Okay, we'll have Bill.
Right.
But it's so tough because their bubble is so big that they're not executing at all cylinders, right? Because AEW doesn't run live events. If you want to see AEW, it's at these televised events, which right now is smart. And if WWE just halved their live events, because it's like, how stupid are you? How actually dumb are you that you're running SmackDown live events
on Monday nights?
On Monday nights.
What are you doing?
Are you, how stupid are
you?
Like,
what are you doing? Like, why don't you want those, even if it's a small house, why don't you want those 1,500 people watching Raw?
Right.
Which is what they would be if they're paying you to go to a house show. They're right. Definitely the kind of people that are going to watch Raw.
And if they're going to go to a house show on Monday, put it on Wednesday, you dummy.
Wait, what?
Because they're going to go on a weekday anyway. They proved that they're going to go on a weekday.
Right. That is so weird that you'd run against yourself in any capacity.
Why?
In any capacity. It's so weird that you do that. Like, I don't... But very quickly, because it's not necessarily on the list, but it's definitely worth talking about, is Bill Goldberg's involvement in SummerSlam. I know we're going to talk more about it when we do our SummerSlam preview, but are you surprised we got here just quickly as a kind of a preview for the segment?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the big thing with SummerSlam has to be that I'm not excited about WWE shows because they don't build to anything. Yeah. And this at least is interesting.
Yeah, like, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to have a blast. The security guards are going to knock on the door. He's going to hit his head on stuff. Ziggler's going to come out and do something fun in terms of like a shot entrance where he's going to make fun of Shawn Michaels or make fun of Goldberg. And we're all going to laugh.
You know who he should be?
He should be Ryback.
No. Oh, well, that's good. But you know who he should be? Kevin Nash.
Sure.
He should be Wolfpack Kevin Nash. That's the guy that beat him first.
Yeah, sure.
That's the first guy to beat him.
Right, sure. That's something kitschy, something fun.
How
like
fun
that.
How fun would that be?
Then Goldberg's going to go in there, spear, jackhammer, we're out of here.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We're out of here. Fine. Cool. Everybody waving high five. And that's the most exciting part about this, because nothing else on this show was properly built to. I don't care about Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins.
We'll get to it.
You know?
We'll get to it because we are definitely going to preview TakeOver and SummerSlam. Now is a great time to mention that if you go to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders and sign up right now, the most fun show we do all month is tonight.
Yeah.
It's Be Heard. All the questions, they do not have to be about wrestling. They can be about our personal lives.
Literally anything.
Everybody that's a Patreon always says the same thing. It's the most fun that we have and they have, and it's an awesome, awesome time. If you can't participate in time this week or this month, it is a monthly edition. There's five shows a month, And you can still listen. Patreon has an awesome app. All you can backlog. It's like
all there.
It's like if somebody recommended a show and you can watch seasons and seasons and seasons of it. You go to patreon.com/newageinsiders right now. You can, if you have enough time, we might be able to sneak in or, you know, read a question at least.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is that we really do appreciate the support.
Yeah, Thomas Sanders subscribed on Patreon.
You're the best. So thanks, like, Tom. And we have a great time. If you're thinking about becoming a Patreon, now is a great time. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders and at least here, be heard. It's an awesome experience. So closing it up. AEW to me right now is doing well. I don't know if they have quite the buzz they thought they would by now, because I think they get like when they have a show, people are talking about them, right. And then I think they kind of whereas it's. I know it's a tough comparison. People are just kind of always talking about WWE. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's also tough because they don't have weekly programming.
You're 100%. We are not comparing apples. Yeah. I understand. But I think they're making smart choices. I am putting them over here. I think they're making smart choices. And I think running buildings that make sense at this size is a good move. Size matters. And we are in a new world where people are experiencing their entertainment in all sorts of different ways, right? To WWE's credit,
they pioneered.
The honest to goodness, I mean, basically changed everything when it says, if I own it, I want to sell it to you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
The over-the-top network, the over-the-top digital network, it really kind of starts with them.
Yeah, because Netflix,
never owned the content, at least hadn't owned the content up until that point.
The first WrestleMania that they put on for free that kind of like kicked and launched the network off was 2014.
Right.
And in 2014, Netflix wasn't quite what it is
now.
But just the big point, like you said, even Netflix isn't them now because they don't own everything.
Yeah.
And they'll never own everything. They'll always license. They'll have original content, but they'll always license. Just the point being that like what Disney is doing with Disney Plus. Yeah, absolutely. Disney just go like you've said it and it's true, but it started with Vince where it just goes, I really think honest to God, it started with Vince getting sick and tired. There were all these old Attitude Era clips that people were just uploading.
Right.
And I'm not seeing a dime, but you're watching it.
Yeah.
Buy it from me. Right. You know what I mean? But the big point being like, if I own it, I don't want to rent it. I want to sell it.
Yep.
And that's what Disney's doing now because Disney is becoming, not becoming, Disney is one of the biggest conglomerates in the world. They are the conglomerate in entertainment now.
Yes.
Now that they've purchased Fox, how can you not believe that?
Yeah.
And so what they're doing is they're doing the perfect strategy.
Yep.
Which is, you would think that if I told you you're going to get Disney Plus, which unto itself contains the entire Marvel catalog, the entire Disney catalog, including all the cartoons, the Simpsons are available because they bought Fox, right? The movies that 20th Century Fox has produced for the last 60 years.
Yeah.
If I told you you were going to get all of that plus ESPN Plus, which, forgive me, I'm not very familiar with.
So ESPN Plus is actually pretty good. So there's a lot of live sports on there.
Okay.
It's essentially a not joke Ocho.
Okay.
Right? So the one that I always kind of point to as like, this is what you'd get is they struck a deal with the UFC. So the UFC has their pay-per-view and that's on pay-per-view and that starts at 10. Well, the matches start at like 6 and there's a bunch of preliminary matches, and on ESPN Plus, that's where you get that content.
Cool. And then on the that's cool.
You know, so it's you know, like the AFL, right? If we talked about them a little earlier.
Yeah, the AAF.
The AAF. If the AAF was still a thing, they would probably air AAF games.
And then on the other side, you have Hulu, which is not just original content, not just shows you want to stream, not just movies you want to stream. But now Hulu is starting, they offer live TV, right?
They offer live TV and originals. Handmaid's Tale is on Hulu.
Right, exactly. The Golden Girls is on Hulu, for goodness sake. So now you're talking about, if you think about it like this, right? Disney's got you covered with all the 20th Century Fox movies and TV shows, The Simpsons, the Marvel stuff you love, the Disney stuff you love,
the Star Wars stuff you love.
I forgot about that. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Holy crap. The Star Wars.
The Mandalorian is a full on Star Wars TV show.
Right. And then you
get. Directed by Jon Favreau.
You get your sports covered. And then over here, I think, and especially in the next couple years as it evolves, that's where you're going to get your TV. And so right now, just as a personal purchaser, right, we pay like between $30 and $50 for the internet.
Yeah.
And then I pay $50 for YouTube TV so I can watch TV with it because Comcast blows and Comcast can lick every part of me. And so I use YouTube TV for my live TV and my DVR, and it's good. I could take it with me, and that's what I do. If you told me that for $12.99, right, because now I'm at $50 just for YouTube TV, right, which doesn't really offer me much other than the TV.
Are you telling me that you don't like that murder mystery reality show?
Which one?
There's one on YouTube, and it's a murder mystery reality show where they...
I'm probably never going to watch anything original on YouTube. I just literally need the TV because they have the local sports. That's why I get them.
Real quick before you go any further, just to not get your hopes up, I just went on Hulu's website, and the live TV they offer also comes with the entire Hulu streaming library and live TV, and it's $44.99 a month.
Oh, so it's about the same.
But will that be...
That's not included.
That's not in the
$12.99.
That will not be in the bundle.
No, that's the Hulu library.
Okay, because I'm going to imagine that in the next less than 5 years, they will do that, and it'll be $19.99 for the whole caboodle.
Probably.
That's my prediction, because right now, like the big thing, the thesis to my statement here is, what Disney's doing is they're going, oh, okay, I'm the richest man in the world. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer a service that if I wanted to charge $50 to $60 for, I could get. And mine, I'm just predicting the future a little bit.
Right.
Mine is $20. And so you have YouTube TV, right? Talking to me, the idiot. You have YouTube TV, right? You pay $50 for that, right? And then you have Hulu, which you pay $12 for. And you have Netflix, which you pay $12 for. And you have the NBC Universal thing, which you pay $12 for. Right. And you're up to like $150 for your TV. And you're not actually saving any money. Mine's $20.
Yeah.
Mine's $20.
Yeah.
And I've got everything. I'm going to have the live TV. I'm going to have the local sports. I'm going to have ESPN for all the other goofy-ass sports if you want to watch badminton.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to have the Disney content.
It's literally what's on HBO Plus. Which is ESPN Plus.
Which is everything you like. Right. You know what I mean? And so it's like, that's what I think their master plan is going to be. It's like, look, I know I could get more for this, but guess what's going to happen? Everybody in America is going to have my thing.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going
to
happen.
This went from already like a must-have to a no-brainer. Right? Because that's what the biggest question was going into this was, all right, so Disney bought Fox and Hulu, right? And so we're going to have all of the family-friendly content on Disney Plus, and we're going to have all of the non-Disney, like, family-friendly stuff on Hulu. That's how we're going to split it up. Well, are you going to make me pay $12 for Disney Plus and $12 for Hulu? And it's just like, look, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to feel good about it. But then they go, no, we'll give you the whole thing. We'll give you the whole thing. This is the bundle. And yeah, we're going to throw in ESPN Plus because nobody cares.
Right. Yeah, right. But exactly. And it's like, it's $13.
It's $13, man. That went from a must have and a going to have to a no brainer. Oh, I'm a day one subscriber.
I already pay $12.99 for Hulu. I'm getting Disney Plus for free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep, no brainer.
And badminton.
And badminton. You know Look, I mean? Here's the thing. You've never been awake at 11 o'clock, or sorry, 9 o'clock on a Sunday in November when there's only professional bag toss on, which is just cornhole.
Yeah. But is like cornhole trademarked?
Cornhole is trademarked. I think
it's like, yeah, they don't use that word.
It's professional bag toss. And I watched the national championships a couple years ago. And one of the ladies who was pregnant while her husband was drinking, right? He just had a beer in his hand and she was pregnant. And they were playing in the doubles match.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how her bags, like her like cornhole bags, got lost in the flight. So they had the company that sponsors her had to overnight her new custom bags. Wow. And that's a real thing that happened.
Professional bag toss sounds like English people who are too polite to like
say cornhole
or talk about prostitution. You know what I mean? It's just, what does that lady do? She's a professional bag tosser. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah. What the purses are like for those tournaments?
For winning cornhole?
Yeah.
I'm sure you get all the tater tots you can eat or something like
that. So here's the thing. If you're going to win a couple million dollars for playing Fortnite, I would assume you get at least $5,000.
Is that the scale?
That's going to be my
guess. If Fortnite is the most popular thing and cornhole is the least popular thing,
yeah,
then that's the scale.
All right. And, you know what I mean?
And, we know that if you win a professional dodgeball tournament, you get $50,000.
Yeah, exactly enough money to save your
gym. The exact money that Joe's average Joe's gym needs to stay in business.
Yes. So enough money to stay in your thing.
And none of your teammates expect a cut.
No.
Real quick, on an article on CNBC from last year, there's a player named Cody Henderson. He plays in a cornhole league called the ACL. He's really tearing it up there. He took home $25,000 in prize money.
In 1 year or one thing?
In 1 year.
1 year.
So I don't know if
he won 50 times in one. That guy won 11,000 tournaments and won $20. Yeah, okay. Well, there's some money in cornhole.
There's money in anything.
It's 25 grand
better
more
than $0.
It's 25 grand more than I've ever made for playing cornhole or barbecue.
That's true.
So good for you. All right.
I don't know. I've drunkenly bet my friend $1 million in one, but I don't think he's ever going to pay me.
Kevin from The Office is going to win a lot of money if John Mellencamp ever wins an Oscar.
Ooh.
That's an inside joke for all you Office fans out there.
I didn't get it.
Bill and I got a Funko Pop today.
That's so fun. Is it Prison Mike?
We did get Prison Mike, but today it was Three Hole Punch Jim.
I don't know what that...
So it's Jim Halpert, and apparently what they're doing with Jim is making his Halloween costumes.
Yeah, they're making everything.
And one of Jim's Halloween costumes, because Jim hates Halloween. He doesn't like to dress up. He finds it silly to dress up for Halloween. So his costumes are always lame. So 1 year for Halloween, he literally wrote the word book on his face and said he was Facebook, and that's a pop. And the one we got today was he took three black dots and put them on himself, and today he goes, because he works for a paper company, he goes, usually I'm regular Jim, but today I'm Three Hole Punch Jim. Because he hates Halloween and did the bare minimum. And we made sure at 2 o'clock on the dot, we got a small vinyl figure representing that moment
which
in our
sold
lives.
Out in 8 minutes.
8 minutes. That's how nuts people are about these things.
Look, I love dorky and weird and nerdy, and
I love them.
It's just not my thing. Neither one of them.
I love
them. Office or Pops.
I love them. And now we'll have them forever. And they're
neither
very,
one of them.
And they're very rare.
There's many.
They're little pieces
of
the things you like.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Look at that Ultra Zord.
I know. I really want the actual toy version of it.
Yeah, you can. They're out there, but they're getting harder to find.
They're like $100 each.
And they're getting harder to find, though, because like the nerds are buying them up, and there's only so many like 1993 originals in the box that are going to ever be around.
Yeah, right.
And I've been starting to look. They're getting hard to find.
Yeah.
5 years ago, you could find them.
I want the legacy ones.
I want the 93.
Oh, see, because the legacy ones are going to be more articulated.
The next big check I get, I found in the box. Unopened, 93.
Oh, jeez.
Dragon Zord with the Green Ranger.
How much is that bad boy?
$115.
No.
Which is...
Because you can get the regular one. Go down to, what is it? The not GameStop, but the other one, Geek Factory or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can get the Legacy Dragon Zord for $80.
Yeah. Or I could get the real one for $115, which... I don't know, for $25, $35,
yeah,
I am that nerd. I am that guy. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, it is a big weekend in WWE. NXT Takeover invades Toronto, as does SummerSlam. We will preview both of those big shows as the New Age Insiders return. Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience. Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Mikowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
Retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie J. Mikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Mikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Maltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
And we're back!
Yeah!
All right, so I say this every time, and I'm going to say it again this time because it's true. There's no reason to believe that NXT TakeOver won't be at least very good.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't know what the worst TakeOver is, worst in an extreme amount of air quotes, but it's still, I bet you, a very good wrestling show because we've been spoiled. And maybe it's a psychosomatic thing at this point, but so be it, because at least it's a positive psychosomatic thing. So much in wrestling, so much in this goddamn world is instantly Pavlovianly associated with a negative.
Yeah.
That if I subconsciously associate NXT TakeOver with an instant good thing, so be it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because at least it's good. But I do feel that way. I do, man, that no matter what's going down Saturday, because I've got some buts about this. I'll throw it out there. I'm not going to make, you know, I'm not going to be a tease. I'm sick of seeing Johnny Gargano in the main event of this show. Yeah. I don't understand why Johnny Gargano's in the main event of every single. I feel like he's been in the main event
since
of TakeOver.
Since WrestleMania last year.
Since New Orleans. Yeah. Seriously.
Yes.
And it's like, and I'm sure he hasn't.
Before that.
And I'm sure, right, exactly. I can't remember. And I'm sure it's happened. Somebody's going to be like, like War Games, well, I'm sure, but like I just feel like he's in the main event of every single one of these takeovers, and like God bless Johnny Gargano, but there's other people, you know what I mean?
Right.
You have a great theory, and we'll get to it when it's time to do predictions. But like, yeah, I just throw that out there that other than the fact that I personally am ready to see a different main event protagonist,
right?
Yeah, man, this is going to be a good show. There's no reason to believe it won't be.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, these are the best things that that WWE is offering on these big wrestling weekends.
It's the most consistent show in wrestling anywhere. AEW can't claim that yet. New Japan just is so not for, quote, everybody that you can't say that any New Japan show is going to be, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It like TakeOver. It's like,
yeah,
you got. Plus, TakeOver happens multiple times. You could maybe say that about Wrestle Kingdom, but there aren't 4 Wrestle Kingdoms a year.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? That's the thing.
Because I guarantee you that everybody didn't watch night 19 of the G1 Climax.
Right. And again, the big thing is it's the name.
Yeah.
There's 3 to 4 of these things a year, and they're always good.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it matters. So what are the matches? Let's just jump right into the actual predictions for this show.
All right. There's a triple threat match for the NXT North American Championship featuring Velveteen Dream, Pete Dunne, and Roddy Strong.
I like to say this just to kick off. I want your predictions first. He belongs in the conversation, and it won't happen if people like us don't start doing it. Velveteen Dream belongs in the conversation of a small handful of the best wrestlers in the world. The charisma, the promos, the complete and total paid in full ownership of his character and his identity. That guy has the deed to his house.
Yep.
He knows who he is and what he wants to be. And then, he's also a spectacular performer. So, go for it. But I just want to throw that out there. The Velveteen Dream just never doesn't impress me.
And you are 100% right, and that is why he is not going to win this match and retain his championship.
Go on.
Because it is time for the Velveteen Dream to get the main event spotlight that he deserves in this takeover. He is not in the main event of this show because
he's the Intercontinental Champion.
The NXT North American Championship. So in order for him to challenge for the NXT Championship, he needs to lose this one.
on. So we're going to accomplish a couple of things, right? We're going to put the title on Roderick Strong so that Undisputed Era can start moving towards having all four members dripped in gold, because that'll be fun. And we have Velveteen Dream put on an amazing match. And then he moves on to the main title, into a main NXT championship program, and gets Johnny Gargano out of the title picture for this next takeover. And yeah, we let the best wrestler, one of the best wrestlers on this roster, start to take that spotlight.
Okay.
And then Pete Dunne's here so that neither one of them have to lose.
Because I so, and I won't spoil it, but because I so, I instantly agree with what you think is going to happen in the main event, I'm not convinced that Velveteen's ready to like be the next guy, but I think he could be the next guy.
Right.
I think he could be the next bad guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But we'll get to that. But I think it's a smart, I understand what you're saying enough that I also think, because there can be so much potential trickery with the group that he's fighting, you know what I mean? Because it's one of those ideas where almost feels like the NWO, or, you know, it's like where I'm not fighting one of you, I'm fighting all of you. You know, right. What I mean? You can build in the excuse because they're so obsessed with making people look good. I would also tell you that Roderick Strong ultimately will probably win. I just hope that the holding pattern for the Velveteen Dream is prosperous. Like, he gets to do something like, for example, be the guy to work with a returning from injury and damn, it's time for him to get on TV, Dominik Dijakovic. You know what I mean?
Right.
If Velveteen Dream's going to transition into a protagonist, into a baby, right? Dijak's going to be a heel.
Right.
So if, yeah, he loses the title sympathetically, because the Undisputed Era are definitely the bad guys, you know, old school wrestling would tell you that you feel bad for Velveteen Dream. Oh, what a tough luck loser. He comes out, Dominik Dijakovic comes out and says, I am here. They have a program, somebody like that, I don't know, somebody like that where they have a program, he transitions to a baby, and then we can move on to the title, or stay who he is and be the next heel champion. But I do think that whatever it is, it's time for him to bloom.
Yeah, well, the good thing is that the next NXT, and not to, you know, look past this one, but the next takeover is War Games. So we don't necessarily have to have him be a champion, because now we're talking 4 to 5 months until...
And he'll probably be on the team that takes on the Undisputed Era.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Sure.
And
no, you're right.
You know what I mean? So him not being the champion doesn't hurt or help one way or the other.
That is a great point. But again, just to, before we move on to the next match, just throw that out there that, you know, you could talk about Okada and Seth Rollins and, you know, whoever you, you know, John Cena, whatever. Whoever you think the best active wrestlers in the world are, and I will throw the Velveteen Dream right into that conversation. I don't care what level he's in or where he is. It's true.
Yeah.
All right. The only non-title match on the TakeOver Toronto card is a what's called a heated grudge match on WWE.com between Candice LeRae and Io Shirai.
Yeah. Heel Io Shirai has been really good. A lot of these Japanese A lot of these Japanese females have come in and have, like, for lack of a better term, been like very smiley and happy. And so for Io Shirai to kind of come in here and take that turn has been awesome. It's been really fun. It's been really good to watch.
Candice LeRae has long been a painfully underrated, undervalued performer. She's done, obviously, work on the indie. She's trained a lot of people. But unfortunately, she had the potential to maybe get stuck in a trap of, like, being Johnny Gargano's wife when she's so much more than that and such an individually talented performer unto herself, that it's kind of cool to see her getting the, you know, because here's the thing that's cool about this for two reasons. One, I'm really, you know, Io Shirai is doing awesome work and she's a great performer. I'm happy to see Candice LeRae not just do something where she's Johnny Gargano's wife.
Right.
And this is a cool little thing that, oh, by the way, this is just a women's match, not for a title on this show.
Right.
The women, you know, usually the women's match of the night is for the championship. And I can't think of very many, off the top of my head, I can't think of any at all. I don't want to say there have been none, but I can't think of a women's match on the show, the second match, the titles on the line. And, like, I'm not talking about, like, well, there was a non-title match on a takeover once.
Right.
Well, yeah, but was that the only women's match? You know what I mean? I'm talking about just this, like, second women's match on the show because it belongs there, not because there's a belt. So that's a cool little footnote.
It is.
And on a card, there was always five matches.
Yeah, right, exactly. And just the idea that, you know, we talk about this a ton, progress happens, and if you don't stop and notice it, it can just keep going. This is a mark of progress where they're just like, yeah, there's going to be a fifth match on the card. It's not going to be Dijakovic squashing a local talent on the, you know what I mean, to open them. Remember when they had Riddle, like, knockout hero?
Yeah, right.
We're not going to do that. We're going to have a women's match, and we're going to have a match because you guys earned the spot. And I think LeRae will win because I think that they really value her and Gargano at a high level.
Yep. Speaking of the women, there is a NXT Women's Championship match, and Shayna Baszler defends against Mia Yim.
My favorite current NXT performer, Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
I love her. She is not Ronda Rousey's friend. She is her own killing machine, and she's terrific. I genuinely look forward to Shayna Baszler matches as much as anything on these shows. This is no exception. She's great. I'm rooting for her. I don't know if she's going to win or if it's time. I haven't heard any rumblings of her getting called up. I hate to associate them so directly, but with Rousey not on this show, I wonder if her call-up gets delayed until it's something to do with Ronda Rousey, who's not here right now. So I don't think there's any reason for her to lose, unless we're just not going to wait around for Rousey to get here, which is a possibility.
Right.
But I'm rooting for Shayna Baszler because I just love her.
Yeah. That's great. I love Shayna Baszler. I think she's great. I don't see a point unless she's going to just dismantle Becky Lynch after the submission.
Because we can both agree
match.
She won't be a three-time women's champion.
No.
Right? She's already won it back.
Yeah, she's two-time women's champion.
Exactly, which is a new anomaly.
Yeah.
And that's just not what that company's for, is three-time champions.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
And let's see. I think in a world on the main roster where the singles competitors are getting stale and you can feel the fan base really kind of revolting against just the same old people in the main event scene, maybe Shayna Baszler coming in there and kicking some ass is kind of the excitement that the main roster women need.
Also, the thing about Shayna Baszler is she's sneaky old. She's like 38 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the thing about her, is like she looks like she's like 20, 28.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 30, but she's like 38 years old.
The shelf life might not be what you think it might be.
Right. And she's, you know, she's been a real fighter. There's tread on that tire. There's miles on those tires.
Yep.
And so, like, look, she does. I'm not telling you she's about to break down, but like, yeah, when you're 38 and have fought and run, it's like,
sooner than later. You got a lot going on.
But I'm rooting for her. I really do enjoy her.
Right.
All right, the NXT Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits, are on this show here, and they're defending their titles against Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly from Undisputed Era.
Yeah, I mean, it really feels like it's going to be Undisputed Era's night. You know, I think that the Street Profits are perfect in the role that they've been playing on Monday nights.
And they don't need to be the NXT
Tag Team. And they don't need to be the NXT Tag Team Champions to do it.
It was a great way to introduce them.
Yes.
Because what you do is if you're just not an NXT person,
right,
you and me, it's wrestling. You know they're a big deal. They're wearing belts. Who are they? I've heard of NXT. Oh, they're the tag champions there. They must be at least... The brain fires all that information immediately just when you see they're wearing belts.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But now... By now, you know who they are. You're either entertained by them or not. You like them or you don't. They don't need to be wearing belts anymore because they're not going to defend them on Raw, so they don't have any actual prestige on the show.
No.
So they're just props, and they accomplish their purpose.
Right. These guys, I should take them seriously they're clearly wrestlers. They're clearly accomplished wrestlers.
They're the NXT Tag Champions.
They're the NXT Tag Champs, but yeah. I don't need them to still be they're not even introduced as the NXT Tag Team Champions. They're just wearing the belts. And you said this off the air, and it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. They have transitioned into narrators for this show on Monday Night Raw, and they are doing a far better job than Charlie Caruso or any of the other backstage interviewers.
Honestly, like, they basically comically are just like, you know, if you're just tuning in, you know what I mean? This is what you missed, because the show's 3 hours, so around 9:30, we're going to have these two funny bastards just kind of clue you in and then be like, oh, by the way, this is the main event and this is what's going on, and the way we interact with anybody,
everybody,
is priceless. We talked about it on last week's show. One of the biggest compliments that you can give Shawn Michaels is the biggest compliment that you gave Jon Moxley, is if I put you in the water, you can swim. And with these guys, it doesn't matter. Kurt Angle, Drew McIntyre, I'm sure they'd be great with Vince McMahon. Just give me somebody to work with, you know what I mean? I'll say it, and I don't mean this offensively at all, but I'll say it because I mean it's true. They're Black Edge and Christian.
Yeah.
They're hysterical. They're funny. Remember when when Edge and Christian went through their surfer kazoo phase,
yep.
and they were just the funniest part of being backstage, whether they were working with Foley, working with Angle, working with the camera, working with anybody,
right.
they were just this. They were just these two guys that you couldn't put your finger on it, but I'm having a good time. And that's what the Street Profits have been.
Montez Ford is the type of captivating where it's like, I know you have a plan, but it doesn't feel like you do.
It's also the name of a man born to be a millionaire.
Yeah, right.
Montez Ford.
But it's just like, you have so much charisma that I just have to watch you. Right. I just have to see what you're doing. And in on a roster that is so void of that, it is so refreshing to be like, what are you going to do? You have a cooler and there's milk in the cooler and you're going to hang out with Kurt Angle and drink milk.
You know what it is too? Is there was an article that came out and everybody on the internet kind of went like, yeah, duh, my eyes work. But the word they used was desperately. The headline was WWE reportedly desperately trying to make Seth Rollins cool. That was the headline.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you know who the least cool person in the room is? The guy trying to be cool.
Remember when you tried to do that with Roman Reigns? Everybody rejected it.
When you have him literally just stand there and DX is hugging and stuff, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm here." You know what I mean? Like he's at an autograph signing, like as a fan, because everybody else is 60. And it's like the Street Profits. The reason I bring that up is they're not trying. They're just cool guys, and you can just tell they're having a good time. They're funny. They're not forcing it. The New Day. The New Day don't force it. The New Day are three funny people that if in a million years had to write their lines, couldn't do it. Because they're just going to go out there and do the damn thing.
Right.
And so
it's pro wrestlers being pro wrestlers.
Right. Too cool. How do I write that?
Yeah.
How do I write that?
You're
and then
you
can put on magic sunglasses and do the worm, and this fat guy came with you for some reason, and we really never explained why you hang out. You know what I mean? But how do I write that? But then it just works. And so that's what the Street Profits are. They're not trying to be funny. They just are. And they're also a very good tag team.
Right.
You know, by the way, if you didn't catch the last takeover,
they're really good.
When they won the titles in that ladder match, they've earned everything.
They're really talented.
They're very good. And I hope, and this is going to sound weird, I love them and I hope they lose.
Yeah.
Because it just means that they can move on and move up. Because right now, even if they are just the narrators of Raw.
Good gig.
Good gig. You're adding to the show.
Yeah, good gig.
You're adding to the show.
Seth Rollins in that segment on Raw did not add to that show.
Seth Rollins hasn't added to the show since he's been in the Shield.
Yeah.
All right, the main event of the evening is a little crazy. It's NXT champion Adam Cole taking on Johnny Gargano in a 2 out of 3 falls match. However, there's a stipulation for each fall.
Yes.
The stipulation for the first two falls
will be... You lose the second fall, you shave your head.
It'll be a street fight chosen by Gargano and a singles match chosen by Cole. And if there's a third fall, William Regal will decide what that stipulation
is. Okay, so I'm going to say this just right away. Why do we think that NXT is so much better than this? Why do we think we can just take out Tommaso Ciampa and put in Adam Cole and go in these blood feud, you pick three falls and three stages of hell, Matt? Like, come on, guys. Guys, these matches were clearly supposed to be Ciampa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And guess what? We built, like, what was the one that we even went to or whatever where it was Cole and Gargano?
So it was WrestleMania.
And I quit. You know, wasn't it like an I quit match or Johnny Gargano loses out of the company? It's like, with all the love in the world, we haven't built to this where we need a three falls match and everything's different. These guys shouldn't hate each other like this. You are just swapping out Ciampa for Cole. And quite frankly, I think it's lazy, and I'm sick of seeing Gargano because there's not what it is there with Cole and Gargano. But I love your theory. So you just, I think that I agree with you. So just go.
So I believe that Cole will retain because I think that this is Johnny Gargano's last spot in the main event for a little while, because I think that we're ultimately getting to Undisputed Era having all of the gold, and with War Games being the next thing, we need to build them up as like the super credible War Games team. And so with them being the NXT North American and Tag Team Champions, they look like a formidable foe, and then they all gang up on Johnny Gargano after the fact. Look at how awesome we are. We have all the gold. And then they are scared out of the way by a returning Tommaso Ciampa, who is really the next opponent for Adam Cole.
I love it, and I don't want to fight that, and I just want that to be the case. Because Ciampa's due back. Like you said, the next one's War Games. He doesn't have to do anything, yet alone a one-on-one. And by the time it's time, he'll probably be ready to go. We have some inside info is that Ciampa's match number is likely limited, but he's probably got enough to at least have one more run. I don't know this part of it for a fact, but the things that I've heard from people that would know is that Ciampa might never make the main roster because it's just a matter of like going to the finish line.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Right. Good. I would rather you have the greatest almost than let's try and figure it out.
Because guess what? Ciampa's like 5'10", and they're going to make him a cruiserweight or something.
Yep.
I just don't have the faith that they'll nail it. You know what I mean? Because Aleister Black is out here just shouting nonsense. You know what I mean? And just so I just don't have the confidence, but we'll see. So I agree with you. Another big show will go down this weekend. And oh, by the way, we will be live after SummerSlam. We take your calls. We hear from you. We want to know what you think of one of the biggest shows of the year, WWE's second biggest, at least in the United States, when we go to Saudi Arabia, it becomes the biggest thing that's ever happened.
It's not till February, right?
Who cares? SummerSlam is the party of the summer, and it'll be afterwards. Join the New Age Insiders right back here, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. We will be live and talking to you. Give us a call. We hope you have the number saved. If not, it'll be all over the internet. You'll see. SummerSlam, I'm going to kick it off with this with a question. Does it feel like SummerSlam to you?
No. No, but WWE doesn't feel like WWE anymore to me.
Okay.
I feel a lot similar in terms of WWE content as I did when I started tuning out somewhere around 2006. I'm looking around and I'm not really, which is really sad because this aspect isn't necessarily true where it's like, I don't recognize anybody and it's just not the same show anymore. And now the parallels to that are it's a different type of, I don't recognize these people anymore, is that, yeah, I look around and I see Tyler Black and I see AJ Styles see Kevin Steen and I see El Generico and they're all here, but I don't recognize any of you anymore.
Sure.
And that's really disheartening, especially, and it's compounded by having people like Jon Moxley, who I had seen before, come to this, not be so great, and now go back out there into the ocean.
And you can kind of tell that it's not everybody else. It's you.
It's you. It's you. I mean, watching Cody Rhodes be like, oh, because when we were leading up to that Money in the Bank briefcase with Damian Sandow, and it was like, yeah, wow, Cody Rhodes should be the WWE champion. This guy is captivating. He's fantastic. I love everything he's doing. He's one of the best wrestlers on this roster. And then all of a sudden you undercut him and make him Stardust. And then it's just like, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah.
But then he gets back out into the water and it's just like, man, you're exactly what I was looking for the first time.
Yeah, no, I understand because it just seems to be like that's the way that it is. Even Jericho, like I liked the list and everything, but I mean, like even Jericho was doing things out there that he wouldn't be doing there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I understand that. To me, it doesn't quite feel like SummerSlam. It's weird that it's early.
Yeah.
SummerSlam to me when I was a kid always used to be the most bittersweet night of the year. Yes. Easily. Because it was almost always the last Sunday in August. And so it basically meant like schools in a couple days.
Yeah.
There were times when SummerSlam was Sunday and like schools the next
Monday.
Day.
Yeah.
Right. Like that, that had happened before. And so it was like, that was always the thing to be. It's just weird that it's like the first Sunday in August this time, or close to it at least. Is it going to be the second Sunday, I guess, technically, probably, mathematically?
Second Sunday, yeah.
Right. But like, it almost used to be the second to last or last, and so it's just, it's early. But what's the card? I know there's a lot.
Right now we have 10 matches on the card. Who knows if we'll get more than that.
Yeah.
The Cruiserweight Championship is on the line, and Drew Gulak is defending against friend of the show, Oney Lorcan.
Yeah, you know, you look at this, and I like Oney Lorcan. I think it's a good pre-show match. I think because it's probably going to be on the pre-show. It's a cruiserweight title match. Let's see what happens. Let's give it to Oney Lorcan. We hung out with him and I followed him around with a camera. Hopefully that footage makes the light of day.
We had lunch with him and William Regal.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that because like we spent that whole day and I followed him around with a camera and shot a bunch of stuff. And so like, somewhere that's just sitting in WWE archives, and I would love to be watching SummerSlam and just have all that footage up there.
That would be awesome. You're right.
You know what I mean?
They would use it, yeah. So, yeah, let's go Oney. And William Regal picked that name.
Yeah.
And it's a good one.
Or he'll give you quite the look when you asked him.
And it's a good name, or he'll punch you.
All right. Finn Balor is taking on The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
What do you think of this Bray Wyatt fella?
I really like it. I like that it's this weird Jekyll and Hyde character because he'll go out there and attack Kurt Angle on Raw, and then on Twitter he'll be like, "I'm really sorry. I really like you."
Yep. So here it is. Here it is.
Yes.
Here it is. Not even talking about winning matches or a championship because we haven't got anywhere near that yet. So just bear with me here. You know what the progress made is this: the mask and the lights and that weird screeching sound, and it is scary, right? Yes. Like that's spooky stuff, right? And progress is now they cut to commercial.
Yes,
when he's done, because what they used to do was like Bray Wyatt would be like, "I'm gonna burn the building down with everybody inside tonight."
Yeah, right.
And then and Michael Cole would be like, "Whoa, spooky stuff.
It's boss time."
You know what I mean? Right, exactly. And so at the very least, they cut to commercial. But here's what they still don't do: no one's scared.
Yeah,
no one's scared.
It's not addressed.
No one backstage is scared. No one's looking over their shoulder. No one is saying like, "Hey, what's somebody gonna do about this?" No one's scared. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's frustrating to me because with Bray Wyatt needs to be is the guy that like, because I think he's got this amazing plan where like, let me in is clearly his way of being like, I want these children to trust me so I can brainwash all of them, which I imagine is supposed to be the Bray Wyatt origin story with Sister Abigail, if we remember back what he used to talk about.
Right.
So like this whole thing, if I understand the canon, the kayfabe here, I know joke's on me trying to patch the story together. But from what I've gathered was Sister Abigail was a witch, and she was a cult leader witch that used to draw children into the woods to brainwash them and make them evil.
Yeah.
And Sister Abigail's dead, and either he can still see her or she has possessed him, but something inside Bray Wyatt
is evil as hell.
Right, exactly. And now it is his job to spread that along and bring in the children and brainwash them, if not curse or possess them, right?
Correct.
Again, shame on me for trying to
find a narrative.
For trying to make a movie out of this, right? But that's what I think he wants to do. And I don't see any kids.
Right.
I don't see him. Like, there's not even, like, a live audience at the Firefly Funhouse.
Right.
Like, there aren't even real kids sitting on the floor.
Well, to be fair, this is also the company that's like, oh, shit, we need an OBGYN. Let's go to the lounge and just put up a curtain.
A purple curtain. Like, a doctor's office would have a purple drape for a wall. Yeah. Why don't we have the shot be all walls? Yeah. Like, what's wrong with you?
And two giant posters that said OBGYN.
Right. No, they were just move. They were
monitors.
TVs.
They're monitors.
They were just
TVs monitors
with just a graphic on them.
And it's just like the purple curtains would cut.
Oh, it did.
It's not even a wall. It's a but like why?
Yes.
Firefly Funhouse. Why isn't there kids sitting crisscross applesauce on the ground? Like
yes, right.
Captivated by him and changing. Yeah. How come there isn't?
Right.
Like, how come there isn't some? How come like. Like, I know this might be like, but how come The Miz doesn't, like, bring his baby around and then Bray Wyatt's, like, always weirdly in the background of the shot? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, things that are interesting TV.
Oh, you know, captivating storytelling and characters?
Like if we show, like one week, you know, Bree showed up with Birdie, right?
Right.
And then Bray Wyatt's just in the shot. Watching, you know what I mean? And it's just like
in the background,
right? Because that means something's happening or building or something
ominous.
My fear for Bray Wyatt is they'll just never
invest,
they'll never tell the stories in his head.
Yes, correct.
And
correct.
It's not his fault.
Because what should happen in this match is going to be good for both people. Finn Balor needs to get violently beat out of this business or like this company for a little bit. And Bray Wyatt needs to establish something that he hasn't established since he first showed up and the Wyatts beat the Shield.
And then the Demon fights the Fiend at WrestleMania.
Maybe we get there, but Finn Balor needs to go away at least for a little while because he needs to get with Gallows and Anderson and AJ.
Do you think that's...
I need it. The fans definitely want it, and he needs it, because...
I don't disagree. I just wonder if it's realistic.
Right now, he's just some guy. He is just some guy. They refuse to invest in the Demon. He can still be the Demon if he's with them. You know what I mean? That's not something that has to go away. But, yeah, Finn Balor needs a purpose. And you know what? Having the real Rock and Roller show up might not be the worst thing in the world for anybody.
Really quick, I meant to ask you this in the opening segment. Do you think that, I don't know if regret's the right word, but let's use regret. Do you think that Cody and the Bucks regret having so much Bullet Club imagery all over All In now? Because they got nothing to gain from you seeing that logo all over the place.
Right.
And now AEW didn't exist, but do you think that maybe they should have just kind of gone maybe with nothing then?
See, the problem is if you didn't have nothing...
Like, I'm talking about Bullet Club can advertise the show, but then, like, I'm talking about, like, the set.
Yeah.
The set just should have been red.
The problem is that...
You see what I'm saying, though? Bullet Club is all over that thing, and they've got no ties to that thing anymore.
Right.
I'm genuinely curious of your opinion. That's all.
You're right, but at the same time, the images that they want you to see don't have them, right? So like Kenny Omega and
Cody winning the NWA.
Yeah, Cody winning the NWA title. There's no Bullet Club logos there.
It's just the set.
But even the set. When it was a bunch of LED TVs. So when Okada comes out, it's not Bullet Club.
Right, right.
It's Okada stuff.
And I know that in the moment, in September 2018, it was the Cell, and it was also like their way of being like, you know that NWO promotion that never happened? Here it is.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And I get it. I'm just genuinely curious because like, yeah, now like it's like Bullet Club was all over the LED part of it anyway. Right.
The other part of it too is that we needed Bullet Club. We needed Bullet Club to sell it.
Right.
And you know, All In makes it so like that All Elite Wrestling can happen.
Oh, I know. I totally agree. It's just an interesting little footnote. But yeah. Back to SummerSlam and what were we talking about?
We were talking about how Finn Balor needs to join.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt will definitely win as he should. And
Hopefully.
And then we'll see what happens from there.
All right, another non-title match we have on the card is Charlotte Flair is taking on a returning Trish Stratus.
See, this is fun. I like that this is what we decided to do with these type of legends, where it's just like, yeah, bring Trish Stratus back and just have her wrestle Charlotte because, yeah, that's what we need to do.
I don't have a problem with this at all. I'm not trying to be snarky because it's just like, okay, Trish is a name.
Yep.
It brings people in. They're clearly with this Raw reunion trying to bring back people that watched in the 90s, in the early 2000s, and Trish helps with that. Goldberg is clearly, as we spoil alert, that's why Goldberg's here. So the Undertaker does anything. This is fine.
Yes.
This to me is just sort of weird because it almost feels like some sort of torch bearing match that got a 2-week build.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure why Trish Stratus and Charlotte hate each other, and I just wish that we had done a better job.
I don't know why Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins hate each other.
Right.
And there's a title involved.
This feels a lot like Batista versus Triple H to me, where it's like, okay, the match happening is fine, and I think you really failed on the execution of the build.
Well, that's exactly how all of this works. None of the matches here, with the exception of
Goldberg,
Kofi.
Goldberg versus Ziggler got booked at 10:59.
I know.
On the go-home.
I know. All of the matches on this card, with the exception of Ricochet and AJ Styles and maybe Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton, feel like it was just like, yeah, this feels like what we're doing.
Yeah, and Kofi and Randy came out of nowhere, too. Like, just because you have footage from 7 years ago to use doesn't mean that we've been building.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Charlotte will win, right?
Yeah, she's got to. Because I don't expect Trish to be here on Tuesday.
Well, it is in Toronto.
Here's the thing, though. Did Natty and Trish lose?
Trish will win.
Is Trish here to win so somebody from Canada does because Natty's not gonna?
Yeah, I would give Trish. I mean, if one of them has to, I'd give it to Trish over Natalya.
That's got to be it, right?
Yeah. Also, if it's all about making the money and building and stuff, then yeah, give Trish Stratus the win.
The thing about it, too, is if... And who knows? This might be Trish Stratus's last match because they all could be. But if we've talked about this with Triple H, if we're going to use you, you got to win sometimes, or you coming back, you're not actually a threat.
Right.
And so if there's going to be another Trish Stratus match and she's beaten Charlotte, then she still has, she has credibility.
Well, and then there's also the other part of like, hey, things should affect people. And yeah, I want to see what Charlotte Flair looks like after she's like, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. Trish comes in and goes, I'm the best.
At least not yet.
And then she beats her.
Right.
And then have Charlotte go insane and like not like Bray Wyatt crazy, but like No. Now I need to prove I'm the best. And, you know, have wins and losses not necessarily mean something because they don't mean things, but have the wins and losses affect them.
Yeah, be the catalyst
for change
to future events.
Right? And so it's like, yeah, so now Charlotte Flair wants Trish. You know, who cares about the SmackDown Women's Championship? So, you know, yeah, maybe Trish Stratus beats Bayley or beats somebody at Royal Rumble so that Charlotte faces her at WrestleMania for the title and hooray.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And but if we bring in, we got to win sometimes, or if we keep bringing in, you're just going to lose and we know it. And then you're Kane.
Yeah, then you're Kane.
Seriously.
Who's coming back?
Oh, no, is he?
Yeah.
When, how, who,
I think live events.
Live events. He's wrestling Braun Strowman.
Don't you have mayor stuff to do? How come our celebrity government won't sit down and do government stuff?
Because it's a popularity contest.
Remember when we thought that Arnold Schwarzenegger was hilarious? That guy got stuff done. You know what I mean? The Terminator.
Yeah, he wasn't actually in movies when he was the governor.
He got re-elected.
Jesse Ventura did a good job.
Ventura was awesome.
And got re-elected multiple times. Anywho, what's next?
All right, the final non-title match on SummerSlam 2019 is Dolph Ziggler versus Goldberg.
All right, I'll jump in on this one.
No way.
So I have a strong feeling that Goldberg really took the Saudi Arabia thing hard. That he did. I mean, and this is going to sound like, yeah, no duh. And a lot of it is, yeah, no duh. But I happen to know a couple things. That was just really a kick in the ass because he thought that there was a good chance that was his last impression.
Yeah.
And he's embarrassed. Everybody's embarrassed. Like, nobody's sugarcoating this thing.
That match blows.
Right. It shouldn't have existed. The real shame, not that this is the time for it, ultimately falls on the company. What are you doing booking those two guys at this stage? What did you think it was going to look like? What did you think it was going to look like?
You know what I mean? Can you stop video game booking for 2 seconds?
You know what the problem is? When Vince has a Titantron package and it's all Goldberg from 98 through 03 and The Undertaker from 99 through 08, and it's just like, well, those guys didn't wrestle that night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't 98 Goldberg versus the fucking Undertaker.
Yeah, well, this is also the same guy that put a Raw reunion picture together and put 2000 Triple H on there.
Right, exactly. Like, whoa, Triple H is going to be there. And the DX version.
The 2000 version.
Yeah, the long hair one. You know what I mean? And it's like, right. And so I'm happy for Goldberg because guess what's going to happen, kids? This whole experience is going to be 5 minutes, and I'm talking with the entrances.
Oh, yeah.
This bell is going to ring. He's going to smash Dolph Ziggler. He's going to fold him like fresh linens, and then that's going to be the whole shaboom. Because that way, you get to put Goldberg on the poster, so casual fans and old fans go, I like that guy, I'll watch, just like Trish Stratus. Dolph Ziggler has something to do, and then Goldberg gets to wrap up his career finally, and the last thing he did didn't suck. Because they're not going to have him do anything. Dolph Ziggler's going to go out there and make that guy look like $1 million. Here's a little behind-the-scenes inside pool. Dolph Ziggler is a gigantic Goldberg fan. You know online how I've been kind of I've been getting nudgy with Matt Riddle? It's because Matt Riddle's serious. I know for a stone-cold concrete fact that Dolph Ziggler loves him some Goldberg and is thrilled to be doing this, and he's going to make that guy look like $100 million.
Right.
And so I don't understand why fans had to give, like, they gave me the crap, but they're just adding us because they're bitching in general. What are you bothered by? He's not going to smush Seth Rollins. He's not going to smush Kevin Owens again. You don't care about 2019 Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
The whole thing's going to be 5 minutes.
The
spear's going to look incredible. What are you so fucking mad about?
So there are two parts to this, right? Because on the one side, it's like, hey, WWE, get your shit together so we don't have to do this in 2019, right? Like, I shouldn't have to sit here and actually say 100% seriously that Dolph Ziggler versus Goldberg is going to be the most fun that this show is going to have, right? It's going to be the best part and the most fun of this show.
Maybe one of the most memorable things is the spear and the jackhammer.
It's going to be Goldberg versus Dolph Ziggler in 2019, right? Get your shit together so I don't have to say that.
It is amazing to hear that out loud.
Right? Because that's the problem, that Bray Wyatt versus Finn Balor should have been this epic novel that we had written to get here. And I think they've interacted twice.
Yep. And in the same way he's interacted with Kurt Angle and Mick Foley.
Right.
He just picks you.
And it's like, guys, you know, Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens, which we're going to get to, is like supposed to be this blood feud and should also be a novel, but it doesn't feel like it's reached any of the climax that they're...
They also involves Shane McMahon.
Right, but they've... This hasn't... They want you to have the same feeling as Austin McMahon, and they haven't built to half of that.
At all.
And so
Shane hasn't screwed Owens over and over and over again.
And so it's like, so get your shit together, because there are things on this. Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins should be far better than it's going to be. It should have been built to. Roman Reigns isn't even on this show. And
is that right?
No, he's not on this show.
Wow.
And so he's probably going to get run down by a white Hummer by Rikishi or something.
Really, really hope it's Rikishi. Or the Usos, and that way it's just this weird family thing they do where they hit wrestlers with cars.
And they also did it for The Rock.
Right, and Jimmy could hit anybody with a car at any time, or one of them.
Jay, you know what I mean?
Whatever the drunk one is.
And so it's like, so WWE, get your shit together. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, man, what are you honestly, do you care? You don't care.
You needed Dolph Ziggler versus Goldberg to bail you out. That doesn't sound real.
Yeah.
It sounds like a fun thing you do in a video game.
This is your video game booking. Your video game booking. And that's...
Like, I love Goldberg, but here's the thing, and I just because we've had a ton of fun over the years with, you know, the Goldberg thing, and I'm excited to see him. And of course I'm excited to see the sparklers and hear the music, and the spear's going to be awesome because Ziggler's going to look like a pizza dough flying through the air. And it's going to be fun. But I can also sit here and say 2017 was perfect. We did it.
Yes.
It's over. And I hate that we did the Saudi Arabia match, so Goldberg feels the need that he needs to do this.
Right.
I hate that he needs to do this. I'm excited to see him, and I'm rooting for him, and it's going to be a lot of fun and fast. But I hate the fact that WWE put him in a position where we had to unwrap that perfectly tied bow that was WrestleMania 33. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just because you haven't built anybody worth watching.
So that's the other thing too, and Sean won't do it, and you can't afford The Rock, and Austin won't do it, and so you're like, well, Bill will do it,
right?
You know what I mean? And now he needs one, and Goldberg needs this. He does. This is Oh man, I hate to spend too much time on this, but you know what frustrates me as a fan of his, and quite frankly, it should appeal to your heartstrings if you're a fan of this thing and this storytelling, whatever. Right.
Right.
Is that one of the biggest things? We talked to him about this. He called this show and he said, I don't want to be remembered for my match with Lesnar.
Right.
And it was the last thing you saw.
Yeah.
And it bothered him for 12 years.
Yeah.
To the point where he did something about it. And now, although we will rectify it on Sunday, the last big thing he did sucked.
Right.
When in 2017, the last thing he did was awesome.
Right.
It took him, so he debuted in 97. It took him 20 years, and he finally had a great match.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? I'm not trying to, you know, obviously I'm not trying to shit on that guy.
Right.
It took him 20 years, but he finally did it. He had a good goddamn match. You know what I mean? The match of the night, like a real one. And now, again, the last thing he did sucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's WWE's fault.
You're right. I just hate the fact that it exists. I hate that. You know what I mean? And now, in a week's time, the last thing he did in wrestling will be fun and folding up Ziggler.
Yeah.
But there's just something to be said about the idea that, I mean, that 6-month run from squashing Brock to bowing out gracefully was just perfect. And now we WrestleMania 33 is a weird one, man, because I thought we said goodbye to Goldberg and The Undertaker, and we fucking didn't.
No.
You know what I mean? Goldberg will win in 10 seconds.
Yes. All right. So I lied about the Ziggler-Goldberg match being the final non-title match of the night. There is one more. However, it does have a very important stipulation. And Kevin Owens is taking on Shane McMahon. And if Owens loses, he's forced to quit WWE.
See, I have two responses to this. If that was real and he had to actually quit WWE...
I'm rooting for Shane.
I'm rooting for Shane.
Yeah.
Because I want Kevin Steen in AEW more than I want to breathe.
I think he recently signed a new contract.
I think he's
in WWE.
I think he's
where he's...
Well, I mean, clearly they like him. Clearly in
it's
their...
the money.
In their...
He's very open. He goes, I'm a pro wrestler so I can feed my family. This is the most money.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, hopefully if they're going to commit to Kevin Owens like this, then yeah, Kevin Owens.
I'm rooting for Owen super hard. He'll win because I don't think they're going to do a thing where he has to quit and then finds his way back and crawls through that wormhole. And plus, you know, even this company, I think, would tell you that it doesn't do you any good to put Shane McMahon over Kevin Owens. I mean, what are we doing? You know what I mean? We can put Shane McMahon over Dolph Ziggler in the Best of the World tournament in Saudi Arabia and build him some heat and stuff like that subsequently. However, when you build heat, it's to blow it off. And if we're not blowing it off with a guy with the ilk and stature of Kevin Owens, then when are we going to do it and why and what are we doing? And Shane McMahon is just too big a character on this show right now, and it needs to get taken down a peg. So let's just Owens should just win. Shouldn't be any nonsense. They should have a good match. Shane, his entire career has always looked competitive. I want that in this one as well. But yeah, ultimately, Owens should just win. Because if he doesn't, it's just like, it's too much. It's too much. He should be doing something else. No more Shane McMahon. No more on the big stuff.
Yeah. The United States Championship is on the line, and AJ Styles is defending against Ricochet.
Look, get these two away from each other. They've been wrestling for like 6 months. Get them away.
Well, this is what they do. Oh, that was a good match. Let's just do it over and over and over again.
Right.
Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah.
The worst thing they ever did was put on a great match once. Yes. So they had to do it 6 more times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's awful.
And that's what it is. And
AJ Styles should win.
Yeah, I think he should retain because whatever we're doing with the OC has not only not time to end, it just got started.
Yes.
So Ricochet will be the casualty of that, but he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine. The SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line, and Bayley is defending against Ember Moon.
I want Ember Moon to win just because I like Ember Moon more than Bayley.
I like them both a lot. Bayley's my favorite. That hasn't gone away. I still love her. I don't know that she's doing a ton to like keep your interest.
It's been pretty irrelevant title reign.
I would have thought, I agree. I'm not going to fight you on that. I would have thought that the next SmackDown Women's Champion was Alexa Bliss. Now with her being the tag champions, I don't think that.
Right.
Ember Moon is as good as anybody if we're just going to do a baby versus baby feel good title change because we need to spice things up. I have a feeling Bayley's going to win because the next SmackDown Women's Champion will be somebody. I just think it's going to be somebody else. But Ember Moon is as good as anybody if we wanted to shake it up.
Right.
But I just think that, I don't know, Bayley will build to something, and then I do think Sasha Banks is going to come back this year. So we'll see.
The WWE Championship is on the line, and Kofi Kingston has had quite the reign here since WrestleMania. He's battling Randy Orton for the WWE title at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I think this is the last like triumphant hurdle for Kofi Kingston.
Okay.
I think he's going to end up beating Randy Orton, but then the end is near.
Yep. So what WWE has done a great job, and credit where credit is due, because we don't give it, we need to give it when it's due, because we certainly don't when they don't. WWE has done a great job of making Kofi Kingston's championship reign not feel like an anomaly.
Yeah.
He has beaten real opponents. He's beat them mostly clean. And I think to your credit, what's going to happen on Sunday is he and Randy Orton are going to have a great match where it gets all, you know, tables are going to break and rules are going to be pushed. And Kofi will just beat him. Because again, if you could beat a guy that's a no-brainer Hall of Fame guy, all-timer Randy Orton, it just shows that when we look back at this reign, whenever it's going to end, because I don't know when, but whenever it's going to end, we'll look back and say, okay, but what did he do as champion? Well, we had a lot of fun. He was on both shows often. He wrestled and beat big opponents, and that's just what I expect. He's already pinned AJ Styles once as champion, even if it was a tag thing, I don't know, but he's beaten AJ once, he'll beat Randy Orton, and what they've done is a great job, again, is not making him feel like it was a
fluke.
Right, they didn't give him a gold watch for being in the company for 15 years. He won.
You know
he's been
the champion. It also feels like this is the crowning, this is the crown jewel in this title reign. You know what I mean?
Like, Randy Orton's a big win.
Randy Orton's going to be a big win, and it's like, wow, Kofi Kingston's on top of the world, and it makes whoever beats him, which was probably the next guy, it makes them feel like a huge deal.
Right, because Kofi's established.
Because Kofi is, you know, was already a borderline Hall of Fame guy himself. Now he won this championship at WrestleMania.
And you know what the big thing is? This program specifically is Randy Orton going, yeah, man, we're all happy for you, but you're not actually championship material. That's crazy. You know what I mean? And so when he wins, you know, it will be the opposite of Triple H versus Booker T.
Right.
Where Randy Orton's going to go like, yeah, nice win, wink, wink, but we know it's all, you know, we know what this really is. Well, Kofi Kingston's actually going to win.
Right.
The black guy is going to pin the racially charged, motivated guy.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the right thing. That's the right story here. And I don't know who the next WWE champion is, but I'll tell you this. If Ricochet wins, it's definitely AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Because then we're building Kofi top champion. You know what I mean? We're building Kofi top champion, New Day tag champions.
Yeah.
And Gallows and Anderson. Right, exactly. And that's the course. And then when they have the top title, the world is theirs.
Yeah.
So I would tell you that if Ricochet wins, AJ's definitely your next champion. You're not wrong. That's what I would think. But we shall see. What's next?
The Raw Women's Championship is on the line, and Becky Lynch is defending her title against hometown, or I guess home country girl, Natalya.
Yeah. This is dumb. This is another one where it's just like...
This is not the best you could do at a pay-per-view this big.
Right, and...
They'll have a good match, because I think they're both very good. And well, Natty is great in the ring, when the bell rings. She's a heart. But this is not the best you could do at this show.
Well, the worst part about this entire thing is, again, storytelling and character. It's like... You are friends and you like each other.
Also, I'll say this. Who's the bad guy? Is it Natty who's been acting like the bad guy? But she's going to be at home. Is Becky Lynch the bad guy? Because she's going to beat somebody from the town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, this one feels weird to me, where this one should be like Becky Lynch beating Trish.
Yeah.
To like show like that she's climbing the all-time ranks.
Yeah, right.
Over, because this is just like I said, I like Natty. I think Natty gets a bad rap. This just isn't the best you could do.
Yeah.
And like, you know, now I can hear people like DC at home being like, well, then who should she have fought? Off the top of my head, I mean, this might have been a great opportunity to like have some sort of four corners match to get bodies on the show. The Iconics aren't the tag team champions anymore. I would have liked to see them get some sort of opportunity because they're capable of it. I don't know. This might have been a great spot. Are we ever bringing back Ronda Rousey? You know what I mean? Because maybe that girl will be pissed about WrestleMania and might want her championship back or something like that. And again, Natty gets a tough break, and there aren't any, you know, Sasha Banks went home, so she's not an option, and Bayley's already a champion, so that's not an option. And so I understand that, you know, they just got to, she's got to fight somebody.
Right.
And Ember Moon's got to have something to do too. But I don't know. I look at like Asuka, anybody?
Yeah, Mandy Rose.
Yeah, right. Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville. Asuka. Is Asuka alive?
Yeah, she wrestled for the tag titles.
So it's just.
Or are we confused that was Kairi Sane and Io Shirai?
And so it's like, you know, I just don't think that Natty's the best you can do. Especially when I don't expect her to win. I definitely expect Lynch to win.
Yeah.
And so I just, I don't really know what we get out of that.
Right.
But I think that Becky Lynch will win, and then you'll confuse the crowd who I think is supposed to like the other guy, but probably even they probably don't.
All right. So the final match of the evening is for the Universal Championship, and Brock Lesnar is defending against Seth Rollins.
So I just want to address that Raw segment this past week. It was the worst written segment WWE has produced in a long time.
Worse than the old day?
Worse than the old day.
Oh, no.
Worse than the old day.
Why?
Because nothing happened. Nothing happened. It was poorly conceived, and it didn't push the plot forward at all. So we come out there, classic Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar, ha-ha, we're going to win, ha-ha, we're going to win. Right? We beat up Seth Rollins. He's beat up. Ha ha. We're bad guys. Okay. Standard fare, whatever. Seth Rollins comes out. So then Seth Rollins comes out and he's really hurt. And his ribs, which I don't know if you know this, but your ribs now are located, at least in the WWE universe, across your belly button.
Right around your waist.
Yeah, belly button. Yep, right? Not up here in your chest
it's
area.
Like you're wearing like an Aladdin sash.
Yeah, like you're wearing a sash. Yes, a very elegant sash to an Arabian ball.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And so he's slowly making his way down to the ring with a chair to then have a difficult time to actually get in the ring. Now, logic would dictate that this is the go-home show, so if we're going to do one of two things, the preferable option would be, ha-ha, the rope-a-dope, like, I might be hurt, but I'm not down, and Seth Rollins ends up getting the upper hand with the chair on Brock Lesnar and gets a couple good cracks at him before Brock Lesnar bails and is like, oh, and now I'm mad more for Sunday, you know? Good storytelling, good little bit to that. But no, what do we get? Seth Rollins is actually still hurt and his ribs are still bruised, so Brock Lesnar beats the bag out of him. Okay, cool, I guess. That's fine too. But then Seth Rollins grabs the microphone and basically should, because conventional storytelling means that this happens, so we heighten to something that will happen later. But instead of grabbing the microphone and going, Brock, you can keep beating me down, but I'll never stay down, and now I want this to be a last man standing match, you know, to add a wrinkle to this story, he just goes, I love this so much. Cool.
Yep.
That sucks.
Yep.
That is terrible, uninteresting, bullshit storytelling.
Well, what they're doing is they just can't get away from this. So WWE has, I mean, for minimum a year now, and it feels like longer, but minimum a year now, completely leaned in to the idea that the internet thinks that Brock doesn't care, that Brock is disrespectful to the business, and it's why they hate him the most, right? I believe they have purposely kept Brock off TV sometimes, even on weeks they know it would make a lot of sense for him to be there, just to perpetuate that stereotype that Brock does not respect wrestling, so you'll hate him, right? And what they're running with right now, and you're right, it's lazy, but we talked about this a segment or so ago. WWE is, quote, desperately trying to get Seth Rollins to a tier that he just can't seem to quite click to, right? And so what they're doing is they're just being like, Brock doesn't care about wrestling, and you already know that, and look how much Seth Rollins loves this. We keep kicking. He's Captain America. Thanos is breaking his shield and kicking him and beating him down, and before we know that Sam's on his left, he's Captain America still, God damn it, he still stood up and looked at Thanos' army and is like, if I die today, I'll die on my feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And that's who they want Seth Rollins
to
be. God,
I want to watch that movie again.
Oh, dude, I found the last, like, 20 minutes on YouTube, and oh my God, it's the best 20 minutes ever. But anyway, that's what he is. They want you to think that it's just like, you know, Brock is Thanos and Seth Rollins is like, I'm going to die on my feet at least. And you will fall in love with that plucky spirit so much, and you already hate Brock. So it's this perfect storm. It's because we get to prediction time. Because you're right, the story is paper thin. The Brock Lesnar that I know wouldn't give a shit if Seth Rollins respects him. I got your belt, haha. You know what I mean? He wouldn't even. I don't even have to give you a rematch anymore.
Yeah, right.
I don't even have to.
Right.
In this company, so screw you. Yeah, bye bye. But anyway, beyond that, because they have to have a match, and I get it. Right. So not to nitpick overly. I kind of think that Rollins is going to win because I can tell that they are so desperately trying to get you to like Seth Rollins that if he beats Brock Lesnar, maybe that will do it because you're supposed to hate Brock so much.
Right.
I don't think that's the answer, by the way.
It's not.
But I don't think I'd bet a single dime on him this Sunday because I think that Brock's going to keep on going.
So this just shows you how lazy the writing is, right? Why do we still call Seth Rollins the Beast Slayer?
Yeah, last time we saw him, he lost.
He lost to Brock Lesnar.
He lost.
He didn't slay the Beast.
Right.
The Beast is a champion.
Right.
So how are you the Beast Slayer?
Right. You lost.
Yeah.
Right.
But what are we doing?
And did we just do the Brock thing so you could get it back? Because again, now, don't look now, everybody, but if we're going to be fair to people like Jedi even out there, right?
Right.
Guess what this is? Where something's not working, but we just keep doing
Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns.
That's what we did with Roman Reigns, wasn't it? Where something's just not quite clicking, and the ratings aren't reflecting it, and the crowd's not making a lot of noise, and there's really not a lot of signs. And look, I know that Seth Rollins doesn't get audibly booed like Roman Reigns. I know that there was a point like 2016, 17, where that guy's music hit, and it was like everybody had just, like, it was like everybody just watched their favorite team lose. You know what I mean?
Basically everybody goes, hey, what's that ghost from Mario called? Yeah, and everybody just answered once,
boo. Exactly, right? And I know that Seth Rollins isn't facing anything close to that, so I don't need to hear that. I'm not telling you that he's getting whatever.
No, but it's the same sort of thing.
But man, we're trying real hard with this guy, right? And the ratings just aren't clicking it. And like, look, if you're going to be critical of Roman Reigns to that level, well, this is sort of the same thing.
It is.
You know what I mean? So like, I don't think Seth Rollins has the it factor. I think he's a tremendous professional wrestler and all of his promos sound the same. I hate his voice. Like my impression of Seth Rollins is accurate. Brock Lesnar, I'm going to get you. And Paul Heyman doesn't believe in me. And
Brock Lesnar, and I don't have to, and ah. And it's just like, God damn it. All you do is shriek. Do you have another tone?
Yeah.
Can you talk to me here? And so it's like all of his promos like are just like, yeah, what's up, New York? We're going to burn it down. And then I love Becky Lynch. And it's just like, you're not a star. You can be a very good wrestler without being a star.
You know who is?
He's not a star.
Adam Cole.
Adam Cole is a star. But like, the difference to me, Velveteen
the
Dream.
Same wrestler.
Velveteen Dream is the star. Is a star. But Seth Rollins, like I said, there's him going out there and being like, yeah, and I want it. And Brock Lesnar doesn't even love it. And it's just like, okay, man. But like, you know, who are you? And like, how come you, I don't know. And so I must admit I'm not rooting for Rollins on Sunday.
I'm rooting for Brock Lesnar.
Ha! I knew it. It was a matter of time. If I had to bet, I'd tell you that Brock finds a way to win because this is going to sound obvious, but we're doing a radio show, so we'll say it out loud. They've either been beating up Seth Rollins this extensively on TV so he can be the guy that unbelievably overcame it all to beat Brock Lesnar, which is very, very WWE. It's very WWE. Yes. You know what I mean? Or they could be doing it for the built-in excuse that if Brock just goes out there and beats him, well, I mean, goddammit, he got F5 on a gurney 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. If I had to bet, I'd tell you that Lesnar retains.
Yeah, I think Lesnar's going to retain too.
And we hope to talk to you immediately after SummerSlam. Save the number, 508-202-1624. We'll take your calls right here on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Right now, we jump over to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. Your questions, we cannot wait. Be Heard is up next, the most fun we have. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. If you subscribe to twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders TV right now, we'll send you the link so you can be part of that show as well. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. Patreon app is awesome. You can binge tons of episodes from us. Support the show. They start at like $5. You can be on next month's Be Heard. Hear this one. We really appreciate it. Enjoy your SummerSlam weekend. My name's been Jason Malt.
I am Liam Strager.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all over the place, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. Thank you to everybody who has made this twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, discuss, and to be heard. See you on Patreon.
We out.